You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage no matter where it is. You may be trying to save your marriage from the very beginning, and you may be trying to save your marriage by improving it along the way, but you also may be trying to save your marriage from the edge of divorce. You may be at that place where your marriage is just about ready to collapse and you're trying to figure out what to do. Well, we're here to help you through any of those stages. My feeling is that the same path that gets you from a broken relationship to the relationship of your dreams is the same path wherever you are on that process. Now, there are some extra steps depending on how far down the hill you're working up from, but it's all the same because we're all trying to build to the same place. We're trying to build to a place where the relationship is a rewarding relationship, where it is a we. Now, today, what I want to talk about is because of a comment that a coaching client of mine made just last week. I answered the phone and the first thing out of her mouth was, "I'm so discouraged." And she gave me this long story about why she felt so frustrated with the process. But what she said was, "I'm so discouraged." And for the first time in my life, I believe, I was struck by that word, discouraged. Instead of it always being that way I thought about it, of, you know, discouraged as being down and out, I realized it was that the courage had been taken away. She had been left with no courage. And that made me think of those other related words like encouraged, to have courage come within you. And then the word itself, courageous. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is how to go from being discouraged to being courageous, because courageous is the action that comes out of a person's place of courage. So let's talk for a minute about what we're talking about with courage. I've told the story many times, but it's so illustrative to me of how we have so messed up our definition of courage in our culture. I was talking with some Cub Scouts years ago when my son was one of those Cub Scouts. And, you know, we were all kind of doing a craft project and we were getting ready to do a little special community service project. And the kids were having this conversation and they were talking about courage. They were talking about somebody who had done something that they had labeled as being courageous. And I went over and I said, "Hey, what's your definition? I'm just curious. What's your definition of courage?" And every one of those boys agreed that courage comes because you don't have any fear, you know, that you're able to do something because you don't have any fear. And so the firefighters who were rushing in to the scene had no fear, and the police officers who were taking care of protecting citizens had no fear, and the soldiers fighting wars had no fear. Now, remember, these are all little Cub Scout boys, so all of their action references were going to be of that nature. And so I said, "You know what? I don't think that's really the nature of courage. I believe courage is when you act even when you're fearful, when you act even when those feelings are overwhelming, when you act to do the right thing in face of your fear. Because if you do something without any fear, all you're doing is taking action, right? You're not doing anything special if you're doing something that you have no fear about. The only time it is interesting that people are able to act is when they act in spite of the fear, because we as humans have this little fear mechanism within us that wants to keep us safe, that wants to keep us from taking action that part of our brain sees as being dangerous. Now, what I like about the word courage is that it comes from the Latin for heart. Cor means heart in Latin, and that it's a place of inner strength, and it really is apart from circumstances. It has nothing to do with the circumstances around us, that we choose to act from that place of heart, from that place of soul, as the Latin culture would have thought about, the Roman culture would have thought about that place as being the heart of taking right action. And so the courageous action comes from that place of heart, not because of what's going on around somebody. It's choosing to listen to the heart. It's choosing to listen to the soul, to the deep places of the spirit, instead of responding to those circumstances around. Sure, courageous action is always addressing the circumstances around us, but it doesn't come in response to that. It comes from a response to our heart, to following something that is important to our heart. Which makes it even more interesting when we use this word discouraged. that something has removed that place from our heart, that something has weighed us down and separated us from that place of heart. And to be encouraged is to take that place of heart back in. And so sometimes we get discouraged when things come along because they're not going the way we want. And so we lose our courage. We lose our place of heart. That's what we're talking about. Now, the nice thing about that is that we kind of have a choice about this. We have some skill sets that can come along where we decide to not be discouraged, to not be separated from our courage, but encouraged to bring that courage back in and to be courageous in our actions. So for a minute, just kind of think of yourself as that place, not of being fearless, but of instead of responding to the fear, in spite of responding to the fear, you choose to respond from that place of heart, that place of soul, that deeper place of spirit that knows that you need to take action, even when it's scary to take action, even when it's frightening to take action, even when it seems overwhelming to take action. Because at that point, it's impossible for you to be discouraged. You will always be encouraged because you know you're working from the right place. So what are those steps? I have 6 steps that help us move from that place of discouragement to a place of courage. And the first one is to accept the fear and the frustration. Both are a part of the process. That's the first thing that has to happen is you got to say, you know what? This is scary to me. This is frightening to me. I'm afraid of what I'm going to lose. You know, this is when I talk about finding that aspirational reason for saving your relationship, that aspirational reason that takes you to a higher place. So we have to accept that what's going on is a fearful place for us. You may have thought that this relationship was going to be a forever relationship, and suddenly that's thrown up in the air. And if you didn't have fear, all that's telling you is that the relationship really didn't matter much to you. Our fear always tells us about the importance of something. It's always like to talk about it as being an importance detector, not an avoidance detector. Your fear is not telling you what to avoid. It's telling you that it's something important. And I mean that whether it's something that's kind of a safety issue or whether it's more of an existential fear. I talk about the practical fears and the existential fears. And the practical fears are more things like, you know, when you're running around on a trail and suddenly there's a squiggly thing on the trail and it stops you in fear so that you can check to see if it's dangerous. Or if you are getting on a motorcycle and you decide to put on your helmet to be safe, I mean, as safe as you can be on a motorcycle, or if you take precautions when you're out with your kids at the ocean and you want to make sure that they're safe as they're swimming, or any of those things we do that are truly about authentic dangers. And then there are these existential dangers that feel the same to us in our current culture because our brain is still trying to catch up and our brain is still dated to those prehistoric times when it was always about an acute threat, not a chronic stress. And so as we think about that, the existential fears are that we're going to lose something important to us, that something's going to happen that means something. One way I often talk about this is if you're at a party, and, you know, you're single and you're thinking you want to meet somebody and you look across the room and there's somebody across there and you're fearful to go up and introduce yourself. It's probably telling you that there's some interest there. It's probably telling you that that's somebody that you're attracted to, that you're interested in. If you look across and you see somebody and you have no fear about walking up and talking to them, it tells you you're not interested in them. There's no real big risk there. And so this is when our fear becomes the importance detector. It points to places that are important to us. We treat it like an avoidance detector. So we get fearful, we back away. Instead, treat it like an importance detector that's saying, this is important. I've got to really pay attention. Not, I've got to stop and retreat, but I've got to pay attention. I've got to show up. I've got to be present. So accept that there's going to be fear and frustration, that this is not going to be an easy process to restore our relationship. It took time for that relationship to get into trouble. It's going to take some time to dig out from there. And so your fears and frustrations are only telling you how important it is to you. So accept the fear, accept the frustration. It's just part of the process. Number 2 is to make your plan. Make your plan. The reason I say make your plan is because the more often we rely on a kind of a guided plan, the more often we're going to have success. When I would teach scuba, we would always have a mechanism to understand what to do in a crisis. It was a checklist. Now, they might not have that plan with them underwater. In fact, you didn't count on doing it. You counted on the fact that you practiced it enough times that it was in there, that the plan was there. And so whenever we would do an exercise about what do you do if there is an emergency, it was to create a plan in their mind. It was to create an understanding of what to do next. The reason is because when we are gripped with that place of fear, we do better if we have something to rely on, a plan to go by. Also, it keeps us on task. It keeps us moving forward. And so whenever you look at people who are finding themselves working in fearful conditions, you'll notice that there's always a preparation that creates a plan. Firefighters have plans for what to do when they enter a building in order to make sure that they're managing their own fears, and they also know what to do next. And so the same is true if you're working on your relationship. You need to have a plan. Not just kind of, I've thought about it, I've read some about it, and I want to save my relationship, but a plan, a step-by-step plan. Do you know what you're going to do next? Do you know how to be calm? Do you know how to be consistent? Do you know how to be constant? Those are my three C's that I've talked about in other podcasts. So do you have those ready to go? The plan ready to go, not just an idea, but a written plan. So the way we manage the discouragement here is to create a plan. If you don't have a plan, step two is to create that plan. Step three is to make sure that plan is based on those aspirational reasons. You see, there are always two sets of reasons in saving a relationship. They're the fearful ones, like I'm going to lose money, I'm going to lose the house, I'm going to lose access to the kids, on and on that goes. And then there are the aspirational, like I made a promise here that I want to be cognizant of. I want to live out my commitment I made. I want to show my kids what an intact family looks like. And on it goes. We have many choices on those aspirational reasons. So you can create your aspirational reasons to do that. I've got a podcast that you can find a link in the notes about how to create those aspirational, not how to create them, but how to arrive at your aspirational reasons, because the aspirational reasons come from the heart. They come from the spirit. They don't come from fear. They come from a deeper place. And whenever we're moved to those deeper places, we move to higher places. That's why in our history, you see people who are able to rise above the fear of a circumstance. Think of the civil rights leaders that were able to rise above their fears. It wasn't that they weren't fearful of being killed or being hurt. It's that there was something that was so important that they would move towards it. And that's true in every change in life. Every radical change in life is based in saying, this is important to me enough so that I'm going to put my heart into it, that I'm going to find the courage to move towards it. Okay, number four is, are you committed to your plan? Commit to it. Don't just create a plan and set it on the side. For a long time, I would work with businesses, and the businesses were always kind of floundering. That's why they had a consultant come in. And one of the first things we would do is to figure out what they thought was important, what they thought was their kind of their core message, their mission statement, their purpose statement. And then they would create it. And what would happen often is they would spend a lot of energy and a lot of time creating their mission statement or their purpose statement. And then they would stick it in the drawer and never look at it again. That's not commitment to their mission or their purpose. That's not a commitment to the way they're going to do something. Commitment is when you commit to your plan, and your plan is going to march you straight towards that goal of, in this case, of saving your marriage. My wife has one of my favorite quotes, consult your plan, not your emotions. She says it very often to her clients, and I say it very often to my coaching clients, consult your plan, not your emotions, because there are going to be times when the frustration hits. There are going to be times when you feel hurt. There are going to be times when you feel pushed back. Consult your plan, not your emotions, because your emotions are what lead to the discouragement. Your plan is what leads you back to courage. It's the encouragement to move forward, to keep going. So consult your plan, not your emotions. So number five, a daily review. Did you stick to your plan? Did you do what you needed to do? Were you able to follow through? And a daily plan for me also includes perhaps doing a whole exercise in finding where you are appreciative. Right. And so you do an appreciation journal. An appreciation or gratitude journal is when you write three things down each day that you're thankful for, and you review it at the other end of that day. So if you write it at night, you review it in the morning. If you write it in the morning, you review it at night. And that's part of your daily review. Are you staying on task of bringing stuff in that keeps the courage going, keeps you in touch with your heart, keeps you in touch with what you find important? Are you staying with your plan? Are you working that plan through? A daily review is necessary because we're doing things that are changing habits. We're doing things that are taking us out of our comfort zone. And so we do a daily review. I liken it to the fact that even after 30, 40 years of flying, a pilot will still go through the checklist. A good scuba diver will still go through the checklist to make sure that everything's been done, that everything is ready to go for that flight or for that dive. That checklist is the review process to make sure you're ready to go into that environment. That's the way you keep moving forward, which is number six. Keep moving forward. Remember that action is the antidote to fear. And this is where we end this process of how do you bring in courage? You act. It's not enough to have a plan. It's not even enough to review it. It's only enough when you have the plan, you're committed to it, it's aspirational, and you take action. Action is the antidote to fear. Inaction breeds fear. It grows fear. So when you put off taking any action, and the action, remember, the reason we put it off would be because of fear, and the fear is only pointing to the fact that it's important. So around and around we go, where action is the antidote to fear. Once you get moving, it's the first step that's so difficult, and yet the first step that's so crucial in getting the process going. So the steps to courage, number one, accept the fear and the frustration. It's just part of the process. Accept it. It's just pointing out that something's important in front of you. Number two, make your plan. That means write it down. Create that plan. Number three, have your aspirational reasons as a part of that plan, because it'll keep you moving forward. It'll give you the reason why. It'll give you the purpose for doing it. Number four is commit to the plan. When things are getting tough, you have to be committed to it. You have to keep stepping forward. Remember, consult your plan, not your emotions. Number five, daily review. This isn't where you put down the plan and you stick it in the drawer somewhere and you pull it out and you say, oh my gosh, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't done anything. Daily review is part of that process, because number six is keep moving forward. Keep taking action. Whatever small action you can do, keep taking action. When you do that, you move from discouragement to encouraging yourself so that you can act courageously. If you're ready to take a huge leap forward, visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com and grab the program, because that's your action steps. And if you're really, really ready to step into that, send me an email. The link is also in the notes, but you can email me at Lee@SaveTheMarriage.com and just say, I am ready for some virtual coaching that's going to keep me moving forward and give me that plan. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue your efforts to save your relationship, no matter where it is.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.